Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Mem Rav Ram Goldhar and today Masechta Sota Daf Mem Zayin, the ninth parak Egel Al Rufa. The Zichu Masechta Sota program has been generously sponsored as a schus for Chazakas Torah. So the three times we're going to focus on number one. It was taught in a brisa. Lom tehei smol docha v'yamin makarevas. It should always be the left hand which pushes away and the right should bring close. Lo ka'alisha dechafu l'gechazi b'shnei yodav. Unlike Alisha, who pushed away Gechazi with both hands, lo ki Yeshu ben Parachia should dechafu l'echem al talmida b'shnei yodav. And unlike Yeshu ben Parachia, who pushed one of his talmidim away with both hands. After Alisha declined reward for miraculously curing Naaman, Gechazi followed Naaman and said Alisha had decided to accept reward. Alisha discerned Gechazi's actions and castigated him forcefully, cursing him and his descendants with tzaras. Later, Elisha went to convince him to repent, but Gehazi refused, quoting Elisha's teaching, "Kol mi shechata v'hichdias arabim," anyone who sins and causes others to sin, ema speaking biyadu lasos tshuva, is not given the opportunity to do tshuva. When Yeshua ben Parachia was traveling with his talmidim, he lauded the hostess of their inn. Kamanaya aksan yazo, how nice is this hostess, referring to her good deeds. A talmid said, "Rebbe, ene trutos, Rebbe, but her eyes are round." Rabbi Yeshua responded strongly and put him in harem. Yeshua did not accept his request to return until one day he intended to accept them, but motioned to him while reciting Shema, which the student misinterpreted as pushing him away. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Nimsa ahorig adshalan nerfa ha'egwa, if the murderer was found before the calf was decapitated, teitze v'sira be'eder, it goes out and grazes with a flock and is permitted in use because the Tana holds that benefit from the egwa only becomes prohibited after its decapitation. If the murderer was discovered after the calf was already decapitated, it's buried in its place like an ordinary egla rufa, although the murderer became known. Shal safek ba'asu mitchilas, because the egla originally came to atone for a circumstance of uncertainty. Ki prasveik of a halchala is atoned for the uncertainty and went on, meaning it achieved its purpose at the time the killer's identity was unknown. The Mishnah adds that the murderer is still executed. The Gemara says that even the testimony of a single witness who claims to know the murderer's identity is accepted because the Pasuk says, "Lonoda mihikau," it is unknown who struck him. This implies that if it is known to anyone, they do not perform an egla rufa. Rav Akiva adds that if based on a witness to murder, even if they cannot identify the murderer, they do not perform egla rufa. And point number three, the Mishnah had taught, Misharabra was chanim batla egla rufa. When the murders increased, egla rufa ceased. Abraisa explains, Lefi sheina ba el ha safek, because it only comes to atone for cases of uncertainty of the murderer's identity. Misharabra was chanim begaluli batla egla rufa. When murderers who killed in the open increased, egla rufa ceased. The Mishnah had taught, Misharabra ha manafim paskum hamaim hamarim. When adulterers increased, the bitter waters were discontinued. Abraisa explains the reason. The Pasuk states, V'nika ishma avon. The man will be innocent of iniquity, teaching. When the man is innocent of iniquity of illicit relations, the waters examine his wife. But if the man is not innocent of iniquity, the waters do not examine his wife. The Brisa quotes another pasuk, I will not punish because of daughters when they commit harlotry. The Gemara explains this teaches that even the immorality of one's sons and daughters prevent the waters from examining his wife. Abraisa proceeds to list the consequences of an increase in many negative behaviors. So once again, the 3 points are number one. It was taught in Abraisa. Wom tehei smol docha v'yamin makarevas. It should always be the left hand which pushes away and the right hand should bring close. Lo ka'alisha dechafu l'gechazi b'shnei yodav. Unlike Alisha, who pushed away Gechazi with both hands, lo ki Yeshu ben Parachia should dechafu l'echem al talmida b'shnei yodav. And unlike Yeshu ben Parachia, who pushed one of his talmidim away with both hands. After Alisha declined reward for miraculously curing Naaman, Gechazi followed Naaman and said Alisha had decided to accept reward. Alisha discerned Gechazi's actions and castigated him forcefully, cursing him and his descendants with tzaras. Later, Alisha went to convince him to repent, but Gechazi refused, quoting Alisha's teaching, "Kol mi shechata v'hichdias arabim," anyone who sins and causes others to sin, ema speaking biyadu lasos tshuva, is not given the opportunity to do tshuva. When Yeshua ben Parachia was traveling with his talmidim, he lauded the hostess of their inn. Kamanaya aksan yazo, how nice is this hostess, referring to her good deeds. A talmid said, "Rebbe, ene trutos, Rebbe, but her eyes are round." Rabbi Yeshua responded strongly and put him in harem. Rabbi Yeshua did not accept his request to return until one day he intended to accept them, but motioned to him while reciting Shema, which the student misinterpreted as pushing him away. Pointing to the next Mishnah states, Nimsa ahorig adshalan nerfa ha'egwa, if the murderer was found before the calf was decapitated, teitze v'sira be'eder, it goes out and grazes with a flock and is permitted in use because the Tana holds that benefit from the egwa only becomes prohibited after its decapitation. If the murderer was discovered after the calf was already decapitated, it's buried in its place like an ordinary egelrufa, although the murderer became known. Shal safek ba'asu mitchilas, because the egla originally came to atone for a circumstance of uncertainty. Ki prasveik of ahalchala is atoned for the uncertainty and went on, meaning it achieved its purpose at the time the killer's identity was unknown. The Mishnah adds that the murderer is still executed. The Gemara says that even the testimony of a single witness who claims to know the murderer's identity is accepted because the pasuk says, "Well, no da mihiko, it is unknown who struck him." This implies that if it is known to anyone, they do not perform an egla rufa. Rabbi Akiva adds that if Basin witnessed a murder, even if they cannot identify the murderer, they do not perform egla rufa. And pointing with you, the Mishnah had taught, batla, when the murders increased, egla rufa ceased. Abrais explains, because it only comes to atone for cases of uncertainty of the murderer's identity. Batla, when murders who killed in the open increased, egla rufa ceased. The Mishnah had taught, when adulterers increased, the bitter waters were discontinued. Abrais explains the reason. The pasuk states, "V'nika ishma avon," the man will be innocent of iniquity teaching. "V'zman she'ishma nuk ma'avon hamayim botkines ishto," when the man is innocent of iniquity of illicit relations, the waters examine his wife. "Eina ishma nuk ma'avon, eina mayim botkines ishto," but if the man is not innocent of iniquity, the waters do not examine his wife. The Braisa quotes another pasuk, "Lo efkod al benosechem ki tiznena," I will not punish because of daughters when they commit harlotry. And the Gemara explains this teaches that even the immorality of one's sons and daughters prevent the waters from examining his wife. Abraisa proceeds to list the consequences of an increase in many negative behaviors. All right, so now we go to Simmer Daf Mem Zayin, and our standard simmon is a maze. A maze. So here goes. The Talmud who got pushed into the red maze of doom by his Rebbe's left hand ended up discovering the murderer after the egla rufa had already been decapitated. And then realized when he saw many murderers hanging out there as well, that the era of the egla rufa was probably over. Once again, in slow motion. The Talmud who got pushed into the red maze of doom maze, that must be learned off Mem Zion. The Talmud got pushed into the red maze of doom by his Rebbe's left hand, which reminds us, it was taught in a brisa, "Olom te'e smol docha v'yamin makarevis." It should always be the left hand which pushes away and the right should bring close. Unlike Elisha who pushed Gehazi away with both hands, and unlike Yeshua ben Prachi who pushed one of his Talmidim away with both hands. So the Talmud got pushed into the red maze of doom by his Rebbe's left hand, ended up discovering the murderer after the egla rufa had already been decapitated, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states what happens to the egla rufa if the murderer's identity becomes known after the decapitation or before the decapitation. So the Talmud got pushed into the red maze of doom by his Rebbe's left hand, ended up discovering the murderer after the egla rufa had already been decapitated, and then realized when he saw many murderers hanging out there as well, that the era of the egla rufa was probably over, which reminds us that the Sota waters in the egla rufa ended when wickedness increased. So once again, the Talmud got pushed into the red maze of doom by his Rebbe's left hand, ended up discovering the murderer after the egla rufa had already been decapitated, and then realized when he saw many murderers hanging out there as well, that the era of the egla rufa was probably over. All right, so now it's time for four Blabach Chazara. Daf Mem Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Mem Gimel is a magazine. So here goes. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine. Magazine? That must be Moran Daf Mem Gimel. The most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, which reminds us it was taught in Braisa, "Lo l'chinam halach Pinchas l'machama," not for naught did Pinchas go to battle against Midian, rather to take revenge for his mother's father, Yosef, who was sold as a slave by the Midianites. The Gemara questions Pinchas' descent from Yosef from a pasuk identifying his mother as Mimenos Putiel, from the daughters of Putiel. Is this not because they descended from Yisro, who was called Putiel? Shepitam agalim l'avodos kochavim, because he fattened calves for idolatry? Pitamel? The Gemara answers, "Lo mi Yosef shepit bit be Yisro." No, they descended from Yosef called Putiel because he scorned and conquered his desire. The Gemara answers, the Gemara concludes that he descended from both, one from his mother's father and one from his mother's mother. This is supported by the Yud in Putiel, which indicates multiple meanings. So, the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Ben Puti general, who is sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement, which reminds us the next mission teaches about the officers declaring the three exemptions from going to battle. One who built a new house and did not inaugurate it, one who planted a vineyard and did not redeem it in the fourth year, and one who married a woman and did not complete the marriage. So the most recent issue of Ancient Midianite Battles magazine captivated the attention of the great Benputi general, who was sitting on his porch while exempt from war due to his recent engagement, behind a young tree he had grafted onto another tree, which was planted as a fence, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught that in addition to planting, grafting a plant also exempts from going to war. Rabbi Zera explains that this refers to permitted grafting. The Gemara wonders what the case is, and Rabbi Yirmi explained that he grafted onto a young tree which was not subject to Orla, such as in a case where he planted the first tree as a fence or for beams, which is exempt from Orla. Therefore, only the graft exempts the owner from going to war. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak provided another answer. Daf Mem Dalad, so the similar Daf Mem Dalad is mud. So here goes. The scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud. Mud? That must be more in Daf Mem Dalad. The scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud, which reminds us, the next mission records Machlokas about the meaning of Hayoreb Arachalevav, one who is frightened and faint-hearted, who also returns home from war. Does it literally mean scared of battle or scared from Averos? And if Averos, is that Deraisa Averos or even the Rabbanan Averos? So the scared soldier who's trudging home in the reddish mud, when all of a sudden he heard that the war was a Mechemes Mitzvah and he must return to battle, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught B'medvar Mamurim B'Mechemes Rishus, when are these exemptions said regarding discretionary wars? Of a Mechemes Mitzvah HaKol Yotzim, but regarding wars of Mitzvah, everyone goes out to battle. Afil chasim mechedru v'chal mechupasa, even a chasim from his chamber and a kala from her chuppah. So the scared soldier who was trudging home in the reddish mud, when all of a sudden he heard the war was a mechemes mitzvah and he must return to battle, asked five judges measuring the distance from a mace in the mud to the nearest city for some chizuk. Which reminds us, the ninth parak of Sotah discusses the procedure of Egla Rufa. The Tanakam in the Mishnah says, Shoshim and Beis Din HaGadol Shel Yerushalayim HaYeyotzin. Three Dayanim from the great Beis Din of Yerushalayim would go out to measure from the surrounding cities to the corpse. Rav Yehuda says, Chamisha, five, because it says, Zikanecha, Shnaim, your elders, implying two judges, Veshoftecha, Shnaim, your judges, implying two additional judges, Vein Beis Din Shako, and a Beis Din cannot be an even number of judges, Mosifin Alein Od Echad. So we add one more to them, totaling five. Daf Mem Hei. So the Simran Daf Mem Hei is Monopoly. So here goes. The entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board. Monopoly board? That must be more in Daf Mem Hei. Monopoly? The entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere, which reminds us, the Gemara notes that our Mishnah does not accord with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who says, Zekanecha zo Sanhedrin, your elders, refers to Sanhedrin, Shoftecha zemelch u'kohen gadol, your judges, refers to the king and kohen gadol. The Gemara seeks to clarify if the entire Sanhedrin needs to come. So, the entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere were shocked to discover one mace on top of another and debated who to measure from, which reminds us, Abaye was asked, Shnei Chalalim Zeh Al-Gabi Zeh, two corpses, which are found one on top of the other, Meheichan Humoded, from where does one measure to surrounding cities? Min b'minu havitamun, umin b'minu havitzav, do we say? Something covered by its own type, meaning another corpse, is considered covered and exempt from Egla Rufa, but something raised on its own type is not considered floating and is subject to Egla Rufa, thus one would only measure from the top corpse, or perhaps the top corpse is considered floating and the bottom is not considered covered and we would only measure from the bottom. The Gemara brings other possibilities as well. So the entire court of judges who came out to measure the mysterious mace slumped over the red Monopoly board in the middle of nowhere were shocked to discover one mace on top of another and debated who to measure from and whether to measure from his navel, nose, or neck. Which reminds us, the next mission brings him out focus regarding which part of the corpse to measure from. Is it from the nose, navel, or neck? Daf Mem Vav. So the Simmer Daf Mem Vav is a cow that goes moo. So here goes. The red heifer that went moo. Red heifer, moo. That must be more on Daf Mem Vav. Moo. The red heifer that went moo and her friend the blemished Egla Rufa that was not disqualified. Which reminds us, although a moom, a blemish, disqualifies a Paraduma, it does not disqualify an Egla Rufa because the word ba, written by Paraduma, excludes an Egla Rufa from this disqualification. The Gemara proceeds to discuss the work disqualifications of an Egla Rufa and Paraduma. So the red heifer that went moo and her friend the blemished Egla Rufa that was not disqualified, who were listening to a group of judges saying they did not kill a man by sending him off without Levaya, which reminds us, A brisa restates the previous mishnah. The pasuk states, "V'amru yadenu l'shapchu es adam hazeh ve'einenu l'ra'u." And the elders say, "Our hands did not spill this blood, and our eyes did not see." Now, did it enter our minds that the elders of Basin are spillers of blood? Rather, they mean that the victim did not come to us, and we sent him off without food, and we did not see him and leave him go without escort. Rabbi Meir said, "Kofin l'levaya sheschar halavaya ein l'shiur." We force a person regarding escort because its reward is without limit. So, the red heifer that went moo and her friend the blemished egla Rufa that was not disqualified were listening to a group of judges saying they did not kill a man by sending him off without levaya, ran to hide when a bald prophet walking without escort inside a Bears Against Men of Little Faith who ridiculed him, which reminds us of the incident of Elisha and the bears. All right, so now it's time to conclude their pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1, which daf do we learn that regarding a melchemas mitzvah, everyone goes out to war? That's on daf Mem Dalet. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that the sota waters and egla rufa ended when wickedness increased? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 3. Which daf we have a question for? Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the entire Sanhedrin needs to go out for egla rufa. That's on daf Mem Hey. Good. Number 4. Which daf we have the incident of Elisha and the bears? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss what happens to the egla rufa if the murderer is found before or after the decapitation? That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 6. Which daf do we discuss the disqualifications of an egla rufa and paraduma? That's on daf Membav. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn the one who flatters will ultimately fall to Gehenna? That's on daf Memov. Good. Number 8. Which daf do we learn? Lo'om tehe small doch of yamin makarevis. It should always be the left hand which pushes away, and the right should bring close. That's on daf Mem Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn what the Mashiach Muhammad says to the nation before they go out to war? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. And number 10. Which daf do we have a question who to measure from in a case where there's one corpse on top of another? That's on daf Mem Hey. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhammer Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.